This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, Colorado is full of place names that people find troubling, and a renewed effort is underway to rename them. Plus, new tracking services show where the greatest risk of COVID-19 may be coming from, and every part of Colorado is now experiencing drought. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
The renovation of the North Fork Valley Skate Park got a boost from the Delta County Commissioners this week, reports the Delta County Independent. The county chipped in $10,000 from its recreation funds. Around $300,000 are needed for all repairs and upgrades to the skate park, and supporters are hoping that a state Great Outdoors Colorado grant will supply most of that funding. The first lawsuit filed over the Gold King mine spill has been settled. In 2015, federal workers accidentally released 3 million gallons of wastewater from an inactive mine near Durango. The spill polluted rivers in Colorado, Utah, and New Mexico. Several legal claims for damages were filed, and now a settlement has been reached for Utah's suit. The Environmental Protection Agency has agreed to fund $3 million in Utah clean water projects and give another $360 million to the state for remediation projects at abandoned mine sites. This month, U.S. Census Bureau employees will be visiting households that have not yet responded to the 2020 census. The Census Bureau mailed questionnaires in April to houses that had not yet responded online. There's still time to mail those questionnaires or complete the survey online at 2020census.gov. Replying to the census is safe and secure. The data is used only for statistical purposes. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
Every part of Colorado is now experiencing some form of drought. Luke Runyon has more.
It's the first time since 2013 that no part of the state is drought-free. The severity ranges from abnormally dry in the northern Front Range to extreme drought along the eastern plains and much of southern Colorado. Dry conditions first crept into the state last fall when monsoonal rains failed to materialize and an average winter snowpack wasn't able to make up the deficit. This summer's hot temperatures and diminished rains are making it even worse. A seasonal forecast from the National Weather Service predicts hot and dry conditions through October for the entire state. I'm Luke Runyon.
A company called Domo is selling COVID-19 tracking services to public health agencies. As Ray Ellen Bichel reports, data shows where the greatest risk of coronavirus may be coming from.
The service looks at cell phone activity and determines where those active phones are usually based. So are they residents that are out and about or tourists from states that are seeing big spikes in COVID-19? Brian Devine is the deputy incident commander for the COVID-19 response for two counties in southwest Colorado.
The data tell us that there's more people from Texas out and about on the streets of Pagosa Springs on any given day than there are residents of Archuleta County out and about. And of course, that doesn't mean that there's actually more Texans in the county, just that more of them are active and doing things and using their phones.
And that might mean they pose a greater risk when it comes to spreading COVID-19. As a result, the health agency has decided to focus its messaging on safe business practices and mask wearing, as opposed to messages targeting residents about staying at home and avoiding non-essential activities. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ray Ellen Bichel.
A renewed effort is underway to rename some geographic features in Colorado. KSUT's Mark Dugan takes a closer look.
Some of the names stand out uneasily on a map. Squaw Pass, Chinaman Gulch. Others are more subtle, like Mount Evans. But Colorado is full of geographic names that are offensive to groups like Native Americans. Some are slurs, others named after bad actors, as we call them today. Like John Evans, the state's second territorial governor. He was also a partial instigator of the Sand Creek Massacre, where almost 200 Arapaho and Cheyenne were killed. Evans was removed from office, but had a mountain peak named after him. Efforts to fix that are being heard at the state capitol. Governor Jared Polis recently revived a dormant state panel to study renaming requests.
I think it's clearly a step in the right direction.
That's Ernest House Jr., a member of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and former director of the Colorado Commission of Indian Affairs. He says the issue of renaming certain landmarks came up a lot, but rarely went anywhere. Now, a cultural shift is happening as indigenous populations and people of color are finally having their voices be heard.
I think that the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement has provided space for indigenous perspectives and conversations to occur.
Here's how a petition to change a place name works. The newly reformed Colorado Geographic Renaming Advisory Board takes requests from residents or groups objecting to a place name. Then they consider the relevance of the new name. If approved, they have the power to get the name changed on federal maps. There's also a federal equivalent run by the U.S. Geological Survey, and it works the same way. Sometimes the new names are meant to acknowledge cultural sensibilities. Sometimes it's just a new name. Jason Blevins is a reporter for the Colorado Sun who's covered the latest renaming efforts. I spoke to him recently about how a new name is chosen.
So say, for example, out in Delta County, they have a mesa and a creek that was named by Mexican immigrants in the late 1800s for the color black. So Negro Mesa and Negro Creek. Federal board had a request to change those names. And the Delta County folks said, how about we have a little contest with our high schoolers?
The kids voted to rename them Clay Mesa and Clay Creek. The USGS keeps a list of name change proposals by state, and right now there's about a dozen requests in Colorado. If approved by the state board, the 14er west of Denver, now known as Mount Evans, could be changed to Mount Cheyenne Arapaho. Also on the list, a request to change a valley in Montezuma County called Negro Draw to Hops Draw. But is there a risk of going too far? Slurs are one thing, bad actors might be another. In Jason Blevins' article, he quotes a linguist at CU Boulder who says that if the issue becomes about everyone who did bad things in history, we could end up with no names anywhere.
Hopefully there's a process that involves all sorts of different voices and maybe some sort of benchmarks in terms of what qualifies as for renaming.
But Ernest House Jr. sees an opportunity to not just rename some peaks and valleys, but to educate people on why they need to be renamed and the harm the original names inflict. He saw that firsthand when he learned about Mount Evans and its connection by name to the Sand Creek Massacre.
In working with the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes, I was so educated from tribal elders in conversations around that very dark chapter of Colorado's history.
House wants to make sure the calls for name changes aren't just symbolic. He calls for a more statewide education on the history and culture of Native peoples in Colorado, people whose history in the region goes back thousands of years.
It expands our understanding. It expands us as a society to learn more, to really be knowledgeable who was here before, who has always been here, what these type of areas mean. And when you provide that type of indigenous knowledge, it's a connection. It not only expands the traditions and the culture and the awareness of us as Native people, but it also builds a partnership. It builds a strong relationship. And I feel like as a society, that's what I'm hoping we're working towards.
Reporting for KSUT, I'm Mark Dugan.
That concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.